Today's episode of Absurdity is sponsored by The Haystack. The Haystack is a voice for young adults in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that produces articles, music reviews, videos, and more. To check them out, go to www.thehaystack.org. The Haystack, life, culture, theology. Hey guys, you're listening to Absurdity, and I am here with Tony, who this episode will be doing his best NPR impression because he's got some kids sleeping close to him, close-ish to him. I don't know how far away they are from you, literally.
It's my younger brother, so they're crashing downstairs because we have some visitors in our house. My mom runs a small school, so I'm home for a little bit of a break for about a week, and it's just been so exciting, kind of seeing, you know, I got to see one of my best friends who works down here. I got to, you know, see all my family, you know, younger brothers and all that good stuff. But I didn't realize how many people are staying at our house. So my great grandma's here. My grandma's here. My mom is here. My dad is currently here. My sister is here. My two younger brothers are here. And we have a one of the teachers at my mom's school staying here as well. So it's just kind of chaos right now. And so the boys are sleeping downstairs right now. They're about 15 feet or so abouts from me. And I'm kind of doing this a little bit early in the morning. So everyone's still kind of sort of been waking up a little bit. But you're going to hear a bunch of sounds in the background. Just prepare for that. I'm going to do my best to tell everyone to shut up. With like, I made a bunch of weird like hand signals. But like, you know, just like cutting across the throat. And just like, shut it.
Nice.
That'll be fun. My grandma just waved at me, so she says hi to all of our Absurdity viewers.
I feel like she doesn't know what Absurdity is or what a podcast is.
Not even a little bit. No, she knows a podcast. I've explained podcasts to
I just tell people it's an online, like an internet radio show.
It's a radio program.
It's just a talk show.
It's like a radio program. Yeah.
Well, so are you ready to hear the wonderful story of my panic attack on Wednesday after we recorded?
You had a panic attack?
Okay, I just co-opted something terrible. I didn't have like a full panic attack, but I did have this moment of like freak out, panic, like everything
panic,
ends.
No.
Okay, we're recording this episode August 17. On August 15, we recorded episode 50, Nerd Culture. Well, shortly after that episode, I was sitting in front of my computer. I wasn't even touching my computer. I was actually checking something on my phone. I was leaned back away from my computer. And all of a sudden, it just freezes and turns off and just shuts off. And I'm like, oh no, this is how it ends, right? I had edited my audio file from that episode, but I had not saved it yet. And I'm like freaking out, panicking. I pull apart my computer altogether and pick it apart piece by piece until I find out one of my RAM sticks died. So now I'm operating on half the RAM that I had before, but I fixed it, right? I launched my computer again, and now it's not reading the second hard drive that I have, which is where I have all of my Absurdity files that I hadn't backed up yet. I was going to do that soon. Now I'm definitely doing it sooner. I'm doing it this weekend. But yeah, it didn't even register. Like the drive didn't exist, and I freaked out and I panicked. I'm like, no, this can't be happening right now. This cannot be happening right now. And I probably spent like 30, 45 minutes on Google trying to find out like why it's not showing up.
Yeah.
And then I opened up my computer again because this is a desktop I built like 2 years ago. So I open up my computer again. Right, I pull out the hard drive and I find out that the SATA cable, which is the cable that plugs your hard drive into your motherboard, the end that plugged into the hard drive cracked and like just broke, like it just became brittle over time and broke. And so it wasn't actually like plugged in. So I went to Best Buy, picked up another SATA cable.
That's so much.
Cables from Best Buy, but I didn't feel like waiting for a shipment because I have a weekly release schedule for this. I went to Best Buy, picked one up, and now everything's back to normal, and my life is okay. But I had this like huge panic moment of this
relief.
Is how it ends. Like,
this feels like an ad for like some sort of a promo ad we would do for like a pharmaceutical company. Just like, you want that instant relief you feel when you realize that it was just a cable that broke and not the entire hard drive? Try
SATA.
Acetudafim. Ask us.
No, it's, yeah, we're good. So I haven't lost anything. Even if the drive had fallen, I would have at least still had everything that's currently online. It's just, But it was just it was just scary because I don't want to lose all those files. Like, that's a lot of work that's gone into this.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, like, and the thing that you, I mean, like, you never actually leave it, but to retrieve stuff like that off of a hard drive when there's been a short, I mean, that's that's going to cost you a chunk of change.
So we're good now. All right, let's dive in to today's topic.
I had a panic attack myself over another issue. So yeah, so we both had little panicky moments. So that's great.
Do you want to tell me about your panicky moment?
I mean, it's not really like a, it wasn't like a big. I couldn't register for classes because they have a hold because I owe like $100, and my financial aid hasn't kicked in. Like, I'm sponsored, but it basically only pays for my living expenses. So, like, I was waiting. I'm still waiting for my financial aid to kick in, so I can't register for classes until that kicks in, and it's like
any day now. I feel you.
So yeah, that's my current. It's like I was staving it up. I was really lucky because I was hanging out like with one of my best friends when I figured all that out. So I was just like, you know what, just be in the moment. Like, don't think about it. So like it was easy to kind of drop it. But like, I was like, if I had been in Michigan while this happened, I would be in a corner, just rocking back and forth. Like,
oh man, I do not miss those days. It would not be good. And well, I don't miss the days that I haven't experienced yet of a master's degree. But yeah, no, that's.
I didn't miss them, and I still got them back. Isn't that great? All right, let's do this thing.
All right, so we're going to talk about Christian celebrity culture today and the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes with it. I think this has been something that's been even more pervasive now because of a lot of sexual assault and sexual abuse scandals that are coming out, a lot of moral failings of big-name pastors and clergy and leaders from across denominations, honestly. Like, it's not just limited to one denomination. In fact, there's a subreddit called Pastor Arrested, and believe me, just a one-minute look at that will really depress you. So I do not recommend, 1 out of 10, do not recommend looking at that. Unless you want a sobering reality.
There's a subreddit for everything. There's like literally a subreddit for everything out there now.
Well,
also keep in mind, like when you see those super hyper specific subreddits, it makes you feel like it's still bad. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's horrible when that stuff happens, but it makes you feel like it happens like so much and so often. And it's like, okay, well, like these are sprinkled in with a lot of other things that happen, but it just kind of like hyper concentrates it. So you're like, this is so totally terrible. It's like, yeah, you're not wrong.
No, exactly. So we're going to talk about Christian celebrity culture, and we're not talking about it necessarily through the lens of sexual assault. I'm just saying that that's one of the things that's brought it to the forefront as something that exists. So
I think we've become more cognizant of it, you know, like we all of a sudden realize how big it had become when it started to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. So so what would you define as a celebrity in the Christian world, especially, I guess, in Adventism?
Oh boy.
Do you cap it at like, or do you put the threshold at 1,000 followers, at 3,000 followers, at being in a Voice of Prophecy video? Shout out to Sean Boonstra. What do you do? Where do you put yourself?
Yeah. Well, I think it's also hard for me to define because I don't get starstruck. I grew up, you know, in LA and we used to just see people all the time. You know, Jay Leno was down our street like all the time. People would be like, you saw Jay Leno, what do you mean in his cars? And you're like, yeah, that's a Tuesday. Like, so
Tom Hanks, you know, is on Wednesdays and Tom Cruise is on Thursdays.
He's a nice guy, you know. He doesn't, you know, he tips really well. No, but like for reals, like you, I don't really get starstruck per se. And it's just something that's harder to define. I will classify myself as a mini celebrity just because I know a lot of people. And when I am with, like when I was with, my students, we went to California and that's where I grew up. Like, my dad's connections are all there. He was, you know, a minister there for 17 years. He spent 39 years of his life there, and my mom as well. And so I know a lot of people. And so we were going, you know, through like San Diego and all these other places. And I was just going through making these connections, being like, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you in forever. How's you know, your mom and all this different stuff. And like my kids would just stare at me and be like, do you know everybody? And then I took another group of kids, a different separate group, to Southern, and the same thing happened there. And they were like, oh my gosh, you know, and it's like, well, I've just made connections. But in that sense, technically, I would also be a celebrity. So it's just hard for me to define. I would say a celebrity is somebody that has more people that know them. I would say this. A celebrity is somebody that has enough of a platform that there are people who think they know them without actually knowing them.
Okay, that's fair. My thing, too, is I think there's a difference between a localized celebrity and someone who's just like a celebrity across the board.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's different levels of it, for sure.
Yeah, so like, unfortunately, in this conversation, like I would consider myself a localized celebrity. Like a lot of it, even especially based on your definition, there's a lot of people that know me in the Southern Union.
Not even this, I can verify, because I had that happen with you, but I kind of recognize it, like something that happens. The Adventist church is so small, it happens in my life. But when we went down to prayer conference, like you were the big shot. I was like, oh yeah, I'm Becker's friend. They're like everyone's like, yeah, we love Ryan. Like it was just kind of like this wave of knowing you. So I recognize that's like, oh yeah, this is your spot. Like these are your people.
Yeah. So everyone can kind of be a celebrity in their own sphere. But I think when we talk about larger Christian celebrity culture, I would also take it with, and this is specifically within Christianity, right? So what makes a celebrity in Christianity is much different than what makes a celebrity just in Hollywood or in regular, just standard everyday society. But this is something I think for Christian celebrities that is identifiable, which is A, their resources are used and attributed to them specifically by anything above a conference level. So I would say, like, within Adventism, I would say, like, all right, Tony Inobili's Guide to Evangelism 101, or like, I think if you are constantly being invited to places to speak, I think if you are, and not places like, I think if you're sought out by people that you don't know in Adventism to be given speaking engagements or things like that, like, I think that's where you're starting to kind of get to the Christian celebrity or the Adventist celebrity platform. I think within Christianity too, it's anyone who's done something notable, anyone who's had this kind of large, and this is kind of circular logic a little bit, but anyone who's had this huge, large sphere of influence, which ironically they have because they're a celebrity, but they had to make the impact first. That's what I mean. Like it's a little bit circular, but I think it's someone, so we look at someone like Bill Hybels, we look at someone like Stephen Furtick. Well,
that's why it is. That's why it is a little bit hard to define, because it is a little bit of circular logic. Like, you have a lot of followers because you're a celebrity. You're a celebrity because you have a lot of followers. And initially, you kind of build that up. And I think some people do it intentionally. Like, you have Hollywood celebrity culture and the music industry celebrity culture, where they are, pardon me, very much seeking after it. The entertainment industry, sports industry, stuff like that. But I think at the same time, I think sports is a good analogy sometimes for that, where like there are some people in the sports world that definitely wanted to go after making a brand and making themselves a commodity and making themselves like a lot of money. And there are some that just wanted to play their respective sport and just kind of were so good at it or did something that was so unique that they became a celebrity, you know?
Well, and
like they kind of...
And I think too, well, within Christianity too, I think it's also like people want to reproduce the things that you're doing in their churches or their own context.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some pastors, I hate to say it, but like some pastors definitely wanted that, like not necessarily in a malicious way, but like you want to get the message out. Like the point of being a pastor, especially in a Christian pastor, is like you want to go and like get your message heard. Like you want to make it a big deal. And so there's a little bit of intentionality of like making your platform heard by more people. And then I think there are some that really just didn't. Like they were just like, I just wrote a book. Like, this was helpful to me, and then all of a sudden it blew up. You know, I kind of think like there are some pastors that's kind of what happened. Like for me, I don't know if it's true or not, and I hesitate to do this, but from my understanding, Francis Chan was never intending to become the celebrity culture that he was. Same with Shane Claiborne. You know, they just kind of believed these things, and everyone was like, I really like what they believe, and it just kind of blew up. on them. And they were just kind of still doing what they do.
Yeah, but...
versus I think there are some other pastors that like very intentionally wrote things a certain way and did things a certain way because they wanted to expand their influence.
I mean...
Which is not a necessarily a bad thing.
I think there's, though... Okay. I think there's... If you're going to write a book, like it's because you want people to read it. And I think there's a difference between intentionally marketing it so that as, like a whole ton of people see it as opposed to just writing the book and putting it out there. But at some point, like if you're putting content out there that you want people to consume, then
you
are
want people to know. Yeah.
You are somewhat
share your experience.
What? Say that again.
To share your experience. Yeah.
Sorry, Google Hangouts keeps cutting like the noise. If you talk when I talk, I can't hear you at all. It's very strange.
No, I to me, it sounds like you've stopped talking. And so then all of a sudden you like pause for this long time and go, no, go ahead. And I'm like, oh shoot. Like I cut you off.
Yeah. No, that's,
it's really awkward.
So we'll make this work. This is kind of, I don't know why it's suddenly doing it like this. It wasn't doing this before. So this is very strange.
I think it's just because we have like 36 devices connected in our house right now. So I think that's why.
Fair. Yeah, I think, like, if you write a book, yeah, I think, like, I'm putting out a podcast. To some extent, I want as many people to see this as possible. There is, I'm putting out two podcasts with the lead podcast as well. Like, that's another one where I want to equip pastors and I want to give resources to other people, and I want to get that to as many people as possible. Now, I think the difference is I'm not doing it so that Ryan Becker has a big name. I'm doing it because I want to equip people, and I understand and accept that if I do that well, a big name will come with it. I get that. So it's kind of this weird thing where I like, okay, while I think that the way we treat celebrities is bad, and this is going to be my point this entire episode, so cat's out of the bag on this one. While I don't think celebrity culture itself is terrible. I think the way we treat and regard our celebrities is the bad thing. And so I actually put more pressure on the followers and not in the fan bases and not the actual celebrities themselves.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of responsibility to do well, but I also remember that they're human, and in a sphere where your moral failures can cause professional loss and professional ostracism, I think that's even more true. Like I think that I lean more into the humanness of our celebrities. And I want to call I want to call fan bases to accountability and responsibility. That's kind of where I think I'm settling on this, which is weird because a year ago I would never have said this, right? Like even probably 6 months ago, I don't know that I would have.
Well, I'm with you on that to a degree. I think also how you as an individual respond back to your followers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think also matters. Because there's some people that I just realized the other day, like I passed, and again, I'm not, you know, I'm not a celebrity by any means, but I just realized I passed the amount of people who follow me on Twitter with the amount of people I follow, which was like 2-1 for years. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, like I just looked at it the other day and I'm like, I have like 80 more followers than I follow people. Like that's crazy to me. Because like my other ones are definitely either 1-1 or less. And like that's awesome to me, but it also means like I have a responsibility now to not like put things, because there's like 500 people who could potentially listen to what I say. So if I put out something like people are stupid or whatever, like I have to be aware that I'm like, look, I'm going to be held accountable to that now, because now all of a sudden people are following me, versus when it was 28 people and two of them were named Bob, you know, Sanderson. I'm like, that's not a real name. You know, like it doesn't matter as much. You kind of have that freedom. So how you respond back to that, I think is also huge, because you have some people, especially in the Christian church, that respond back with, and again, this is very millennial, but a lot of authenticity, a lot of, genuineness, and they don't let their celebrity change them. And there's some people that respond back and allow it to, they allow themselves to be put on that pedestal, and it's like, all right, well then you better come up with this.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can describe it is like, if you come up and ask for the pulpit, you better be bringing it. I've had pastors, it's a pet peeve of mine, when pastors ask for the pulpit someplace. They're like, no, I have a message I need to share. I'm like, well, dude, you better knock this out of the park. It better be at 12 on a scale of 1 to 10. Because if it's not, like, that's the level I'm grading it. Because you have now just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But when you are asked to come and speak, I have a lot more grace for the student who, you know, is asked to speak for student week of prayer. Like, I have a lot more grace for them. They cannot do as well. They can kind of roam around and not, and because I'm like, you were asked, you know, this wasn't something that you looked for. So to me, I think it the way that you respond to that followership, I guess, the way that you respond to your celebrity is also a determining factor for me, at least, in how I treat you, how I think of you, how I perceive you.
Okay. That's fair. Like I well, here's like the thing.
You've done it really well, Brian. You've done it really well.
Everything is nuanced. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. Everything is nuanced, right? So I, you know, when I talk about this, right, I agree with you. I'm just saying that my primary focus in this conversation tends to be on the fan base. And it looks like yours also is on the fan base, but also is on the response of the celebrity. Yeah. So so
because we can't do anything about the celebrities. You know,
no,
what
we
I
can
mean?
Do something
like,
about ourselves.
We're not
as
on
the
a
fan
level
base.
Where we can talk about. Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's like, how do I, you know, perceive these people? Do I hold them up to a pedestal type of thing?
So let's talk about it. What's good about being a celebrity? Like for me,
well,
I think when I think of a celebrity, like that's someone who has a lot of influence. That's someone who has a lot of, and it's a double-edged sword, you know? But you know, someone who does have a lot of influence, someone who does, like, if my passion is equipping pastors and I become a celebrity doing that, then I get to equip more pastors. So it becomes like this thing where your influence can be something good. It also means that you get a lot of opportunities. You can make decent money, because of the extra opportunities. And I think as well, you have the opportunity to make really cool connections. Like, I actually think it's awesome to be connected in places, like just random places. And the other thing is, I think you get, as a celebrity, especially within Adventism, I've seen this, you get a seat at the table. Like, you get a voice in the big powerful rooms. And I think that, so celebrity, being a celebrity in Adventism actually drives you or propels you into leadership circles.
I mean, I think the perceived rooms of power, because I still think within Adventism the real power lies with the people. We just don't think we have it. I'm a little bit of a
religious
anarchist that way.
I understand.
But like, yeah, like you get to say things that people are going to listen to. Like, there's a weight. The best way I can describe it is this. Like, I'm totally with you, by the way. Like, that's 100% what I was going to say, almost word for word. In the Maori tribe in New Zealand, and different parts of the Pacific, of the South Pacific, there is a necklace that they have, and it's it kind of swoops down and comes out, and it has, it's forked at the end, so it kind of looks like almost like a scoop, with a kind of a fork on the end, and it's a symbol of the tongue. And in the Maori tribe, according to the story that I was told, so this might not be true. If it is, you know, please correct me. But according to the story that I was told, in that culture, only the people who have that have the right to speak. And so when they speak, everyone stops and listens, right? There's a great deal of responsibility to it. That necklace, that right to speak, cannot be given, right? Like, you can't just, oh, my dad was the chief, so I get it. It has to be earned. You have to do an act of bravery or something deserving of the honor to speak. But when you get that, when you speak, people shut up and they listen and they give weight to what you say. You know, other people can talk all day, but also when you stand up, he's got the center of the tongue, everyone shut up. He's, you know, this is important. And so there's people who have that sign of the tongue take that responsibility very, very seriously. In fact, the way it was described to me is they're very often very quiet people. They don't talk very often because they know when they do talk, everyone has to say. So they're not very trite with what they say. Everything has to have a weight to it. And I think that's the best way to say it, is that when you become a celebrity in the Adventist world, you're given that sign of the tongue, you know, because we can shout all day into a void. And sometimes it feels that way a little bit, you know, as young pastors, where you're like, you see issues and you see culture that needs to be changed and you're like doing the best you can, but you kind of feel like you're just shouting into the void and it's just bouncing around and hitting you back. And every once in a while you get kind of a response, like a little thing. And it's like, oh man, it's so awesome that, you know, you could have this influence. But it, you know, when you become that celebrity, you have that tongue. So you sit on the, you know, you sit with the right people and people look at you and they say, oh man, he has said something, you know? So now I might, if he said it, then I had to change, you know, I might have to change the way I think about things.
I'm sorry, my dog just farted herself awake. I just like look out of the room. Sugar. My dog like jumps up out of nowhere. Oh man.
He's literally crying, folks.
Okay.
He's literally crying.
All right, I'm sorry. Awesome. Back on track. That's significant when you recognize the weight of your words as a celebrity. And you recognize the danger and also the good things that come with it. So,
but it's a lot of good.
Yeah.
I you know, at least for us, I know part of the reason why I wanted to be on this podcast is because there are things about our culture. Like, it's just so perfect. Like, I think this is, Absurdity really is a podcast for our time because there are so many things in our culture that I think are absurd and ridiculous and need to be changed. And we need to start talking about it. And so, like, I would love if this podcast continues to grow in influence. Like, I would have no problem if we reach 100, 200 episodes and, you know, we have a bunch of followers because I think that these are important issues. I don't really care if my personal Twitter gets high because I just sit there and retweet, you know, like, soccer stats and, you know, funny cat videos. So, like, to me, that's not that big a deal. So there's certain parts of my life about things that I think have weight, and I think being a celebrity is important because it's like, I want to talk about these things that to me matter.
Yeah.
And we should have an influence on
it. Well, see, and that's kind of my thing too. Like, I do this podcast because I'm passionate about the content and I wanted to do something to make a difference. Well, I'm passionate about the content, so I don't care how many people listen because I want to talk about it and put it out there.
Exactly.
But at the same time, if I want to make an influence and if I want to make a difference, then I need people to listen. And so there is this, like, I can't sit here and be like, yeah, I didn't do this with the intent of growing into this big
pirate radio.
Yeah, like, it. I did. I absolutely did create this, and we always create with the intent of people following. Like, I don't, and people taking in and consuming the content that we create. So with that in mind, like, I don't want to be intellectually dishonest, basically, is my point. Like, I did this with dual reasons. But let's talk about this then. What are the dangers of celebrity culture?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. The biggest one
the bad outweighs the good almost.
Almost. It almost does. Well, A, for a lot of people, there's a crushing amount of responsibility. On a very small micro scale, pastors' kids are local celebrities, oftentimes very local, but sometimes a little bit more so. And there's a crushing amount of responsibility that gets put on you. So as a child, I mean, we see it with child actors all the time. I mean, how many times do we see a child actor that, like, was a legitimate child star make it out of there sane? You know what I mean? I mean, it's almost like an exception to the rule. Yeah. Like, we're like, wow, you know, Zac Efron actually did it. Like, he's looking good. He's not, you know, addicted to anything, like, yay, that we know of. Like, it's, you know, that it's, there's a ton of pressure. So that's not good. And so, okay, so it's very bad for kids, but a lot of adults can't handle that pressure either. A lot of them crack as well. It's not like, you know, adults sometimes are, you know, a lot of them can't handle that. So there's a lot of pressure. I think the other thing is you get put on a pedestal to where the Messiah complex becomes much harder to deal with. You, if you don't want to be a celebrity, you almost, it's like walking on eggshells. You have to walk such a very fine line because every part of your life is going to get combed through.
Yeah, you start to, you know? Well, and you can start to resent people. You can resent the people who made you.
Yeah, you can get very resentful because you're like, I don't want it. And so, like, there's two, you know, that the pendulum, there's two ditches to that. The one is that you become resentful. The other one is that you, like, it goes to your head and you become this, like, I am the greatest. Yeah. Like, you know, like Michael Jackson, you know, all of a sudden he's the king of the world and everything. And it's like, well, I mean, he was a really good musician and a really good artist and a really good dancer, but it wasn't like the dude was curing AIDS. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't actually contributing super survive, like, in a world where it's a post-apocalyptic world, Michael Jackson would have kept us happy, not alive. You know what I mean? So you kind of get this overinflated sense of self, and usefulness. And that's the danger, I think, of celebrity. And within Christian culture, there's an even deeper push on both sides of that, which is the fact that when you become the central focus of attention, you are constantly having to push that back to God, because the temptation is to constantly, it is just there thrumming in the background. And it's really there for every pastor to a degree.
Yeah.
But the more people give you weight, the more temptation is there to be like, I have come down from the mountain and I shall ye speaketh upon the. And if you're not spending a lot of time with God, like the reason why Moses never really believed his own stuff is because he spent so much time with God. You know, like the reason why he didn't go full on Saul is because, you know, King Saul, is because he was spending a lot of time with God. He totally could have. He totally could have lost it and just been like, yes, I am your savior, instead of giving it to God. And so that I see a lot in the Christian celebrity cultures. A lot of times the focus comes off of God and it gets put on you.
Well, I think the danger of being a celebrity, now I'm talking about the fan bases, which is kind of where my focus is anyway.
Right.
But my issue with celebrity culture and the danger of it is that people start to project their experiences through your life or through your ministry.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's a big one to me. Like, and I think too, how do I want to say this? Because this is really frustrating.
You associate your spiritual identity with this person.
Yeah, and through their experience.
So I think we were going with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Like they become the expression
of
your faith.
Through X.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I came into the church through this person.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you came to the church through Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, that person may have been the conduit God used, but God was the one who brought you in. But I've heard that over and over and over.
Doug Batchelor
or this person.
You know, even Ryan Becker. Like, I've baptized a few people and they'll say that. Or
yeah, I was like, I was trying not to say names.
No,
but all right,
no, like, there are people. Stephen Furtick, Kerry Neuhoff, like, Craig Rochelle. Like, this isn't, listen very carefully to anyone listening. This is not a witch hunt podcast. I'm not scapegoating.
No,
I'm
not.
Just saying, like, and honestly, that people say Doug Batchelor brought me into the church is not Doug Batchelor's fault. It's their fault
for not understanding
that God is the one who brought them in. And yes, there is a responsibility on leadership side to make that clear. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, people
can't
are people.
Change the way, yeah, like, it's us. We have to do that. I've had that with organizations, dude. Like, I had somebody say to me, I came back to the church through GYC. And I wanted to be like, no, you didn't. You came to the church through Jesus. Like I didn't, because it was going to start a fight if I did. So I eventually kind of worked with this individual. And that's the other thing, is like, a lot of times you'll hear this and it's like a one-off. Like, I don't really know you. I was very lucky that this individual who said it, like, I had a relationship with them, so I could like speak into their life a little bit. But that was my struggle. Was like, dude, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, you came to the church through Jesus. Like, he spoke to you through that, but that's like, he's also working through other people.
Well, and this is actually, so the other issue with celebrity culture, in my opinion, is that people use celebrities in the Christian world as proof of their faith. So I look at someone like Stephen Furtick, or someone may look at me. No, this happens in every local church with a pastor. Let's just, like, this is not even like greater. This is one-on-one, any leader, anyone you look up to, right? The people you look up to become that expression of Jesus Christ in your life. And like, for some reason, we just do that. And so when Ryan Becker fails, his church members go, oh, well, then is God even real if this pastor was lying to us about X, Y, or Z, or, you know, if he couldn't even do it and he's the one preaching that Jesus is the one who frees you from this stuff. So it's like, we literally use celebrities and other people's stories as proof of our faith as just regular human beings. And everyone is a regular human being. Like, and it's so frustrating to me, because I have an issue with this in general, because what we say is, you know, people, when you bring someone into the church, it should be you're supposed to be Jesus to other people, right? So they're supposed to see Jesus in you, and it's how well you treat people and how kind you treat people, you see Jesus in them. And then once they're in the church, we say, okay, stop looking at people, because people will mess up. Look at Jesus. And it's like, well, hold up. They were always the same person. Why can't we just tell people to look at Jesus the entire time?
There was at the summer camp I worked at last summer, they had a thing called Jesus to Me, and it was at the very end. And what they would do is publicly go up and say people who had been Jesus to them. And one of the big things that I did when I was there, one of the things I'm very glad is I said, we need to adjust this. Now, there was a lot of change happening, so there was a lot of pushback when we removed that. But I said, we need to stop because I'm a performer, and I know when there is a danger. And I go, this, we if you want to thank people who have been Jesus to you this week, first of all, that phrase, I don't like the way we say it. I understand what we're trying to say, but I'm like, who did Jesus work through? That should be, like, we need to change that phrase because it's not like, you were Jesus to me. It's like, no, no, no. He was Tony to you. Jesus was Jesus to you through Tony.
Yeah.
You know? But to me, I think that's the other thing is like, yeah, I have no problem with people publicly coming up. My problem is, A, that becomes a popularity contest, and B, okay, but, you know, like, that's a bad platform because all of a sudden now it becomes not about Jesus, it becomes about that person. And I'm all about edifying people. I'm all about being grateful. I'm all about, you know, like wanting to thank them. So what we did is we had everyone write down notes, and they could get as many cards as they want. They could do and write as many as they want, but they could say, you were Jesus to me. You were Jesus to me. You were Jesus to me. And instead just hand them out. And the way that we pitched it was that way everybody gets to do it, which is also true, right? You know, you can't have every single, you know, we had 300 campers. We can't have them, you know, go up. Well, it wasn't 300, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we don't have the time for that. And so that to me was just that issue of, you know, you want to make this about God anytime you take it away from him. And that's that thing is, he was always there. Jesus was always there working through this person. Acknowledge him, not the person.
Yeah.
And not that I don't want to say like, oh yeah, Paul's awesome. But if you look at Paul, he was like, don't give me credit. Like, people were like, oh, you did. So-. And he's like, that wasn't me. This was God. Like, every time you look at him. And that's, again, we can't control if someone's going to react to their celebrity well or not, but we can control whether or not we do that. And to me, that's the whole point, right? Like, let's stop going up front and be like, this person, instead be like, I really love how they showed Jesus to me. Right? I really love how they spoke to that. Like, I had some professors, and I don't, like, I'm very intentional about saying I loved how they portrayed Jesus. Like, I love how they brought out this point. Not that, oh, they're just such an awesome professor. Because, yes, they could be a great teacher or not, but it's like, they show Jesus. That's the point.
That's really significant. And I think, you know, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I love that, as I imitate him. In other words, imitate the things that I do like Christ, but don't imitate me in general. Just focus on the things that are like Christ.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But
So what do we do? Because this is a big issue. What do we do when we have these celebrities that are big and are influential, even if we do it in the right way, and then they have these moral failings?
Well, see, so, okay, this is where I was going, because I think this is going to sound like victim blaming, and I promise you it's not, because I'm not excusing the behavior of people who make terrible choices to harm people or to hurt people, all right? I'm not excusing any of that. But we as fan bases create a culture where, like, knowing how people will abuse power, knowing how people will let things go to their head and create an ego, we create spaces where we venerate people, not maybe as saints, but basically as saints. And what happens is they get into power, they mess up once, and they realize that if I come out, all of a sudden I lose everything that I've just been given. And so what happens is this environment of secrecy. I firmly believe that every sexual assault, sexual abuse case started, I don't firmly believe this, but I could see it this way, started as what may have been like a super minor, like, pornography addiction or something like really tiny that happened somewhere else, and eventually grew into its full manifestation later down the road. I don't think that all pornography addiction leads down that road. I'm just saying, like, I think it was something small that, and it was one cover up after another, after another, after another, that then leads someone to believe that they can be protected, they are invincible, they can get away with this stuff, they can create a culture of silence, they can do all these things. And that's 100% on them, don't get me wrong. But why are we creating environments where someone is not allowed to be human? Why are, like, the fact that a celebrity fails and has a moral failing should not surprise us, because they're just as human as us. That's what annoys me is anytime a celebrity has a moral failure, we pretend to be shocked and outraged and oh, they're so hypocritical. Well, yeah, everyone is. That's the entire point of looking to Jesus, the one person who isn't, right? So it's this real struggle for me where, what about Christian celebrities who have moral failings? How do we deal with them? Stop treating them like they were perfect the entire time. Specifically, start treating the celebrities that haven't failed as human beings. That's where, and here's the thing. Every single one of them has failed. We just don't know about the failings yet.
I love the fact that Paul writes about his struggle with the thorn in the flesh thing, man. Like I really do. Not only from a personal level of like, oh man, I can relate to that so well. I'm so glad that Paul would admit that. But I'm like, dude, this was a celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, this dude was, I mean, he was the Billy Graham of the, you know, early world. Like, you just said his name and everyone knew it. Or the, you know, the Alejandro Bullion, you know, of the early world. And he was like, yeah, I struggle with sin all the time. And he would say things like, you know, he says things like, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And I'm like, he's admitting to the fact that he sins. He's admitting to the fact that he makes mistakes. You know, he's not a sinner, obviously, but,
yeah,
or he is in the sense that he's not actively trying to not follow God, but he's saying, I'm not perfect, mm-hmm, you know? And this idea of absolute perfection and can I get to a point where I no longer sin? I'm like, well, okay, if you're better than Paul.
Yeah.
Come to me when you think you're better than Paul. And then we can talk.
See, that's the thing. Like, we already think that Christian celebrities are better than Paul. Like, that's why.
And that's the thing. It's just like,
Someone yeah, like Bill Hybels comes out as there's this big issue with sexual assault with him. And all of a sudden, all these church members that were like, well, he's the one who led me to Jesus. And you know, this, he did this and he did that. And it's like, hold up. But that doesn't, like, all that good doesn't mean he's not capable of bad. And I think this is my point. Like, fan bases don't create monsters. All right. This is why I don't think I'm victim blaming here. Fan bases don't create monsters, but we are responsible for creating spaces that monsters can thrive in. And we do it by the way we lift people up and venerate them and treat them as if they're these amazing individuals capable of doing no wrong. I don't want that pressure.
On a weird note, and this kind of going back to Christian culture, like Louis C.K., and I'll get back in a second, but like Louis C.K. had this whole thing where he came out and he was doing, you know, the stuff that was not appropriate and people were just like, oh, I'm so shocked with all this. And I'm like, why? Like, he literally made his bones talking about how he's a horrible human being. Like, and I get that a lot of times he put on an act and it's a persona. And I'm like, but to consistently your entire career talk about how, like, your imperfections and oh, I struggle and I like creating fights and this, that, and the other. Like, how was this surprising to you? Why did you build him up to be something he was not? He told us who he was. And this is the thing, like when pastors say things like, oh, I struggle, when they say that from the front, it's almost like we're like, yeah, but you don't really struggle. I had somebody come up to my dad, you know, when he was pastoring, you know, here in Arizona. And she said to him, oh, pastor, I need you to pray for me. And he was like, okay, sure. And she's like, no, I really need you to, because God hears your prayers. And he was like, well, God hears your prayers too. And she's like, but she grabbed him, paused, and went, but he really hears yours. Like, that's the kind of thing that you still have. And I'm not blaming her in any sense, but that's what we as fan bases, this is what we do, is we create these spaces where, like you were saying, it can grow. Now, I'm very fortunate that I, you know, my dad never, like, that never got to his head. Like, he was never like, oh, okay. Like, he just kind of shook his head and goes, I'll pray for you, you know. But I'm very lucky that I had that example, because it could very easily have switched to the other side. And I believe that there are some celebrities in Adventist culture that has happened to. We have created a space to allow them to do that, and they have jumped the shark. I mean, they have gone full on that crazy, man, you know. And so, like, this is the thing that I struggle with a lot of times, is I go, I can't change them.
Yeah.
You know?
But I can change
me. And I know
me.
A lot of times, yeah, I can change the fan base. I can change the culture. And I know for myself, like, this is a big deal for me when I hit 460, you know, Twitter followers or whatever. Like, okay, don't let that change me. You know, keep in mind the responsibility, you know, that you always have. But I, you know, to me, when we got sponsored, this was a big deal. You know, like, people don't realize like how much we actually discussed the concept of even getting a sponsorship at some point on this podcast, because we're like, okay, do we want, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. You know, we want to be able to always have our voice free to say these things and to talk about these things and to say things like, you know, we as a fan base need to not have celebrity culture. Well, you know, do we want to get to a point where we can't do that anymore? And I don't think we want to. I don't want to anyway. But that's the reality, is like, you have to be prepared for that, because as a fan base, we do this and we need to stop doing it. We need to stop doing it for pastors. We need to stop doing it for evangelists. We need to stop doing it for musicians. This is another big mm-hmm. one. Like, Need to Breathe, you know, they were coming out with the fact that, like, while they were writing Christian albums, they were doing very not Jesus-y things. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, when stuff with Tim Lambesis and As I Lay Dying came out, I don't know if you know about this story. So yeah, Tim Lambesis, yeah, the frontman of a Christian. He hired a hitman to kill his wife and he went to jail. And now he's out. And allegedly he's out of jail, and As I Lay Dying is actually reformed and is trying to continue. But when that story broke, everyone in the Christian music world went, yeah, like 90% of the bands that do this are not Christian, but they understand they can take advantage of the Christian fan base or get music, get money, whatever. Or this has been their job for 10 years. They don't know anything else, so they're going to keep doing this. Like, yeah. Rebranding is impossible, it seems. So it's, we...
And it frustrates me a lot of times that we as Christians allow another. I'll just give you a perfect example. Went to a Hillsong concert. Not about Hillsong, by the way, but we went to a Hillsong concert and they promoted the Noah movie. And as a fan base, everyone there was like, well, not everyone, because I was against it, but they were all like, yeah, it's awesome. They're making a Noah movie. And like, as a film guy, I'm like, dude, this is Darren Aronofsky. This is the dude who made Black Swan. What on earth makes you think he's going to at all be biblical? And sure enough, after it came out, people were like, that was weird. I don't know. I didn't like, and I'm like, duh. You know, it's like if what's the name that Tim Burton made a, you know, the Daniel movie, like, this is probably not
gonna... Oh, I would love
to
see the statue, like, of Daniel too in that vision. Oh man, that would be baller.
You know, what's his name? The guy who makes he used to be with Monty Python. He makes weird films.
I can't remember his name.
Work with me. He did like Brazil and 12 Monkeys and
Nope.
Anyway, like if he made, you know, he's doing the David story, like, yeah, this is going to be weird. Like, but we as a fan base promoted it and we allowed that film to have weight because we like, well, you know, these guys put it up there on their screen. This must be good. And it's like, no, we have to challenge. What's interesting, talking about this idea of the fan base, you look at Paul going through in the book of Acts. He goes to Athens, doesn't do so great there. Goes to Thessalonica. The Thessalonians like really just accept everything he says. Like, this is awesome. This is great. We're totally behind this. Then he goes to this little, not a little, I guess, but another town called Berea. And not as famous as Thessaloniki, not as famous as Athens, but they sit there and hold his feet to the fire. You know what I mean? Like they really, you know, they sit there, and it says every day they went and checked the scriptures to verify what he was saying was true. And it says they were more honorable than everyone else. Like they were, this is good. Yeah. This is what you want to see, because they were sitting there. They did not allow Paul his celebrity, because you know they had to know who he was. They did not allow him to affect them. And they were like, we want to make sure this is true. We want to make sure that this guy's saying it. And I go, that's the attitude we need to have as a fan base, is trust but verify. Like, I trust that what you're saying is true, because this is the other danger that comes with that. And this has happened to quite a few Adventist celebrities. I can go off the deep end and start saying some wacko, like, crazy. Like, this has happened historically. The same dude that was in the 1888 conference that was like, you know, salvation by, you know, Jesus and grace and like all this amazing stuff that Ellen White was totally behind, ended up becoming anti-Trinitarian and believing that Jesus wasn't really God. Like he went off the deep end and went crazy. And if like people like followed him, And Ellen White's sitting there going like, well, we don't really believe this. And whether or not you believe in Ellen White, like leadership basically said, this is not what we support. But I go, but you know that there were people that followed him just because, you know, E.J. White, because it's E.J. Wagoner. And this has happened so many times. And we have a current big celebrity right now that is saying he's not a theologian. First off, he's not a trained theologian at all. He's not a biblical scholar. And yet he is saying crazy stuff, like crazy stuff that is not biblical and not good theology. And we're just simply following him. And a lot of other people are saying like heresy, like they're saying heresy, but because they are a celebrity, we are not willing to hold their feet to the
fire. Because,
we're not willing
because
to sit
they,
there.
Not even because they're a celebrity, but because they had a positive impact in my life, then suddenly they're not capable of doing bad.
Yeah. Just because somebody said truth one time doesn't mean they're going to say it every time, because unless I am constantly submitting my life to Christ, which I want all of my followers to do that, by the way, this is one of the reasons why I'm single, is that I refuse to marry somebody who wants to marry a pastor, because I need somebody who's willing to hold my feet to the fire and not just be like, he's just so awesome, I love him so much. Like, I want somebody who's going to kind of be like, dude, that's crazy.
That's funny. My luck is I can't find anyone that will touch ministry with a 10-foot pole. So I'm the
exact. That's also another. There are many reasons why I'm single.
Ladies. Okay, so let's kind of retract this then, because we're talking about Christian leaders who have, or celebrities who have moral failings. And here's my thing. If the moral failing is of a personal nature that doesn't actually like actively victimize someone else, I'm more of a fan of like putting them through some sort of rehabilitation thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But if it's someone, absolutely, if it's someone who actively has victimized people, I think that's when you give up the right to, or give up the privilege that you've been given in being entrusted with people, right? Like if I'm entrusted with a code to a bank vault and I break in and steal money once, guess what? I'm never going to be given again. So it's this thing where,
even if you don't break into your own vault, you know what I mean? Like if you're given the trust to this vault, but you rob a liquor store on the side of the road, it's like, okay, we're not going to trust you with that anymore.
So if you're entrusted with the care of people, with God's people, and you fail by actively victimizing them, then okay, that's it in my view. But if it's, you can work in kind of, you can get a job elsewhere, you can do something different. But as far as that, it's gone. But if it's a personal moral failing, I'm kind of on I'm on the side of like, let's get you help and get you taken care of. Once they have that moral failing, that's where I think.
Because we all struggle. Yeah.
And I think every time.
I think the other thing that we need to do is we have to have grace and abundance, and we have to have judgment in rehabilitation. I don't know if that makes sense, but I want to critically look at all of these well-known individuals, and I think we should go through their lives to a degree with a fine-tooth comb, because when you have that weight of responsibility, whether or not you want it, I want to make sure that what you are saying, like I said, if you ask for the pulpit, or if you're given the pulpit, quote-unquote, in a metaphorical sense, okay, I want to find out what you wrote. You know, I'm going to find out what you believe, because if you're going to say something that's going to have an influence on people, I'm going to judge you with the idea of I want to rehabilitate you and I want to have grace and abundance. So if you make a mistake, if you have a failing, I want to judge you harshly and have grace in abundance.
I would rather say I want to judge you fairly, not harshly, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, fairly. Which can be harsh at times.
I think that's the thing.
A lot of people, they judge with they nerf the judge a little bit. And they're like, and they kind of put on kid gloves. It's like, no. Hold their feet to the fire. Because this is the thing. Jesus never said, like, treat me with kid gloves. Like, Jesus never backed away from a fight. You know, Paul went in and just tore Peter, you know, he tore him up because he's like, dude, you're doing the wrong thing. Did Paul ever knock Peter's theology? No. Did Paul say Peter shouldn't be a leader? No, but Paul was willing to call him out, absolutely, and be like, dude, you need to get your head on track. And that's how that's what we should do. We should treat our celebrities that way, because again, I can't judge them. you know, or change them. Like I can't, there are not a lot of people in that world that are that high. I am not that high. I'm close. I'm not in their stratosphere. So like I need to then affect the people around me, which is, okay, we need to stop putting on these blinders, putting on these rose colored glasses. No, let's actually hold them up. Let's take them to the standard. And then when they do fall short, let's have grace and abundance. Yeah.
Well, I think
absolutely say build you up.
I talked about this in a prior episode on Adventism's cling to relevancy, which is probably like 10 or 15 episodes ago. But I also think
that's a good one.
We as a fan base, I think we need to find security in our own faith instead of looking for it in others. I think we need to look at our own journey and find security and find our firm foundation in Jesus Christ on our own instead of basing it on the experience of other people. I think that's huge and significant. I mean, even Bad Christian recently did an episode on Benny Hinn, and they interviewed his nephew. And his nephew used to be involved in the ministry, used to be a really kind of big name in it. And the dude himself, if you've looked at any Benny Hinn videos where he walks up and he taps people and they're healed and all this stuff, right? His nephew openly said on the podcast, I have never seen a person healed in my time working with Benny Hinn, period. Never seen a person healed. So like, to me, I almost don't even trust the miracles that other people experience. I only look at the miracles, like I can see them as affirming and encouraging, but I can't see them as like, this is proof for me that God exists, that someone else, like for me, I want to look at it through my own experience and say, Jesus, what are you doing in my life? And what are, and yes, I fully understand that then you risk subjectivity. I understand that. And I think there are some objective measures for faith and for the reality of our beliefs, but this podcast isn't necessarily about those. So like this episode, but I just really want to stop living my faith through the eyes of others and through the lives of others.
Yeah. You know, I think that's the correct application. Paul says, you know, work out for yourselves with fear and trembling your own salvation. A lot of people translate to that as like salvation by works and all that. To me, that's the correct application of it. Whereas don't just accept that you know what I mean? Like work out how your salvation works for yourself, your own theology of it, because don't say it was like, oh, well, Paul told me I was, no, you have to come up with it in your own mind. You have to figure out for yourself, your own spiritual identity, you know, work out for yourself, because this is a very serious thing. Because again, to say I came in through Apollo, or I came in through Doug Batchelor, or I came in through, you know, the dude at Pioneer Memorial,
Dwight Nelson.
I came in through Sean Boonstra. I came in through, you know, Mark Finley. No, you didn't. You came in through Jesus. And you need to work out for yourself why that is important, because humans are going to let you down. Yeah. This is the ultimate problem with celebrity, is humans are always going to let you down. There's only one person on this earth that never let anybody down ever. And that was Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Everybody else is going to do it.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard because technically, I think Jesus did let people down, actually. Yeah. But he did it not because he failed, but because he didn't meet the expectations, the false expectations that they put on him. Like,
I guess that's, yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a better point of celebrity culture, right? People made Jesus out to be something he wasn't. If you're disappointed in Jesus, you are the problem.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair.
That's a really good point you made. I never thought.
Yeah, Jesus absolutely failed.
I just discovered something.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, now we know what we're preaching on tomorrow.
We did it. Yep. All right.
There's
a sermon in there somewhere for sure. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, no,
Jesus
for sure.
Jesus did fail
absolutely.
People. He wasn't afraid to fail people. But he did not try to live up to people's false expectations of who he was. And I think
absolutely.
And I think that's really important. But yeah, I think there's a whole lot of celebrity culture. And here's the thing. I respect every person that you named. I respect Mark Finley, Sean Boonstra,
absolutely.
Dwight Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you name it.
They have incredible ministries.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, I love what God has done through them. And I may not agree with everything they say or believe, but I respect them a lot for what they've done. Man, I don't necessarily agree with Doug Batchelor on everything. Especially some major things. But I baptized someone last year that came to the church because they were watching Amazing Facts, to the point that I didn't even have to do introductory Bible studies with them because they knew it all. Like, no. And yeah. That's
he's has so, an incredible so, ministry. Like, you
can
know?
We like can we acknowledge that people are just people and people will fail. I will fail, Tony.
That's the reality.
You will fail. Yep. Like everyone is going to fail. And that's like that's just expected. That's just a part of life.
Exactly. And I think that's why, to a degree, I hate the fact that we as a culture now go back and we see, oh, you know, look at this. 8 years ago, this person said this thing. And I'm like, yeah, 8 years ago, I thought blonde tips was a good idea for my hairstyle.
Man, okay? I love that.
We all do dumb stuff, eight, 10 years ago. Like, hello, like, we all make dumb mistakes. Well, and I think that's like, the big thing for me. It's like, look at what you were saying with the idea that they're human. I can totally respect the fact that they have allowed God to work in their lives in an incredible way, and God has used them in a mighty way without taking the fact, without not taking into account their humanity and being like, yeah, they're going to say crazy stuff. Like the same thing with Ellen White. Like that's why I believe Ellen White is real, because I can separate her propheticism for me from her humanity and be like, sometimes she said stuff that was just like, nah, that's not real.
Yeah.
But she was saying that. And there are moments where just because she said some things that are not right doesn't mean that every single moment, like she said some things that are incredibly profound and good. And they have spoken into my life in an incredible way and allowed God to speak into my life in an incredible way. But I don't hold her up as a celebrity either.
Prophets.
And the fact that I did look at her life and learn about her as a human made her so much more relatable.
That's the thing. Prophets can be wrong. I mean, and that's like fact. In 2 Samuel, David's like, hey, God's in a tent. I'm in a palace. Let me build God a palace, like a temple. And Nathan's like, yeah, God is with you. Go ahead and do that. And then legit that night, God approaches Nathan and is like, no, not at all, actually. No, I am not. That is not what I want. That's never what I wanted. Tell him to stop. I think it's 2 Samuel 7. You can look this up yourself. So it's like prophets can definitely be wrong and people can be wrong. And I think, look, honestly, I think all the current moral failures that we're seeing, I think all the exposés, all the exposing that's happening within the denominations and within Christianity, I think it's a giant wake up call to us. That's what I think it is.
Yep.
I think it is a giant wake up call to us to remember our place and to remember who we are. And to avoid those pitfalls and create a system where monsters can't keep thriving like this. It's so painful. And I'm tired of seeing people hurt.
It's going to be painful fixing what we have allowed to grow up. And the way that we move forward, I think, is exactly what we were saying, where let's not, because if all we do is just seek out and find the monsters that we've allowed to grow, we're just going to keep doing this. Like it's going to be a never ending battle because we're allowing more to grow. We don't create them. We allow more to grow as we do this. So it's like, we need to also move forward and say, we're not going to allow this type of culture.
Yep.
We're not going to, we're not going to build up. I hate to say it, Franklin Graham, to the point where he can, actively support someone who is not only living in sin, but is actively breaking one of the commandments of God on an almost daily basis. And he can just be like, well, God put him in because I agree with his politics. Like, we can't allow that type of celebrity culture to remain, where we have to say, this is not okay.
Yep.
And not put them up on a pedestal and just be like, just because you have this big voice doesn't mean that I'm not going to hold you to the same standard that I hold, Joe Schmo or, Joanna Schmo. Like everybody gets held to the same standard. And that's the importance. That's the best way moving forward, in my opinion.
Well, and that's the thing, like everyone is equally fallen in Christ, in Christ's eyes, everyone is equally fallen. And for those who are saved, everyone is equally saved. All those celebrities that you look up to, all those Christian bands and artists that you look up to, they are no more saved than you are, and they are no more sinful than you are. Everyone has their failings and their issues. And so I just want to see us be more responsible with the celebrity culture we have. I think we'll always be drawn towards it. I think that's human nature. Israel always wanted a king. I think we always look to people to inspire us and to lead us. And I get that. And so I want to be responsible with what we have. And I want to try and keep my attention on Jesus as much as possible. So that's where I'm at.
I just had a great picture in my head when you said that. I was like, everybody fails.
All right.
Everybody fails.
So I think we're done.
There's your soundbite.
So there it is.
Here's your soundbite for the beginning of the episode.
Hey, thank you guys.
We need to have a trigger warning too, a little bit.
Yeah, perhaps. I may put one at the beginning.
I'll put one in there.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Absurdity. If you want to find us online, you can find us at theabsurdity.org. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, podcatching apps, you name whatever podcatching app you can think of, we're probably on it. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave a review. That really helps us out. And if you have any comments, questions, feedback for the show, you can email me, ryan180becker@gmail.com. You can tweet at me, Ryan180Becker, or Tony, your Twitter, please.
Tony_ANOBILE, or just look up the new Dr. Jones.
Awesome. So also, one last thing, if you want to give financially to this podcast, it really helps us out. You can go to patreon.com/absurditypodcast, and it is super helpful for us. It helps cover costs and fees. So we really, really appreciate you, all of our patrons that currently donate to us. Thank you guys so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.